Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're not going to win many games.
Now, Tanny, you can't use that out of context. That is not, I mean, it is what Ben Johnson said. It's just not why he said it.
We're going to win many games.
Yes, that's the other version. They're going to see, you can just kind of flip it around and everything's going to be fine.
We're going to win many games.
There's going to be a lot of news coming out of Halas Hall over the next 25 minutes or so. Ryan Poles is going to take to the podium. We will share what he had to say in a little bit. Big Ant Heron is here. He is with us on the show today. Spiegs is off. He's on vacation for the rest of the week. I've got one more show tomorrow with Russ Dorsey, and then I am going to take a little bit of a break, and then it's going to be good. Then we come back on Tuesday, and it's football season, week one, full go. And we're going to be ready for him. I am very, very excited.
All the footballiest of footballing is going to take place from what, now until at least January, perhaps beyond, question mark?
I think Greg Gabriel a couple weeks ago was like, this is the first week that there will be, the first week of NFL preseason, he said, there will be three games a week from now until December. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, we are in there. There have been some roster moves, so let's catch you up on some of the moves that have happened before we hear from Ben Johnson. Travis Homer has been put on the injury list, along with Agbong Bamiga, the linebacker. So then, waived injured players are Tysheem Johnson, Doug Kramer, and Bill Murray. So they've been waived injured. They waive the following players: Maurice Alexander, Britton Brown, Luke Elkin, Jonathan Ford, Mekhi Garner, Jarmy Kroma, Jordan McFadden, Zach Pickens, J.P. Richardson, Tyler Scott, Ricky Stromberg. And then they release, because all of these things are different from depending on how long you've been in the league and how you were brought to the team. Miles Boykin was released, Steven Carlson, and they activated Torrey Taylor and Jalen Johnson. So the activation of Jalen Johnson is a big deal. Everyone was wondering if he would be ready for week one. That's still to be seen, but at least now he has been activated to the active roster, and maybe we can get more clarity on what's going on. Can we talk a little bit, Big Ant, about Zach Pickens? Because I think there are a lot of Bears fans that go, well, wait a minute, wasn't he a well-thought-of draft pick of Ryan Poles's, and now he is not on the team?
I mean, I personally thought well of him at the time. In the moment where, you know, you get a couple of defensive linemen back-to-back, second, third round, in that initial training camp that Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens were going through, as far as the transition to the way the Bears defense operated at that point, where the premise was you wanted the defensive line to get into creases, penetrate into gaps, to, you know, apply force into the backfield and basically miss blocks. Zach Pickens to my eye, looked more adept at that early than Jervon Dexter did. He didn't consistently get into the rotation, didn't splash and make many plays during his rookie season. And then during his second year, you know, even as he was playing in plenty of games after coming off of an offseason injury, still wasn't really that impactful. The first game, I really kind of noticed Zach Pickens ended up being, I believe, the last game he dressed last season. And a lot of reports about the shape he, you know, he's coming into and a new start and fresh faces on him and everything else. But it just hasn't panned out. And for Zach Pickens, there at least has been plenty of time that he's been healthy going into year three through his first two seasons in the league, and plenty of in-game action to try and impress this regime between regular season games over those two seasons and now this off-season program and preseason games. And it just hasn't shown up enough, not nearly enough, especially as they've acquired additional defensive linemen to try and bolster that front. So, you know, as far as the draft capital utilized on him in the not-too-distant past, yeah, it's on the surprising side of things, but as you've tracked Zach Pickens and the lack of production there, then it shouldn't be that surprising.
I also think that one thing to keep in mind, and I am okay with anyone who is angry at some of the personnel decisions that have been made by Ryan Poles that now turn out to be guys getting cut that had higher draft statuses than some people thought they deserved. The interesting part to me is, I think that we're already seeing a shift in power to the preferences of the head coach. And I don't think that that was in place before. I don't know if that's good or bad, Big Ant. I just know that that's what I'm seeing, that Ben Johnson has a lot of power of how he wants to reshape the team. And that might mean that Ryan Poles has to eat a little crow with some of the decisions he's made in the last couple of years.
And when you think about it, Ryan Poles getting hired, then shortly thereafter, Matt Eberflus getting hired as the head coach, there's a shared vision between the two of them in that stretch where, you know, the draft picks and the roster moves and sort of trying to shape the Chicago Bears in their shared image. That's how they were operating at that point. Now, this is Ryan Poles after, you know, quite a bit of job scrutiny on his performance with all the losing that's happened at Hallis Hall over the last few years. He's been given this next life, this next iteration of his journey, but with Ben Johnson to come in, and it's a part of the task for Ryan Poles to supply Ben Johnson with what he needs to shape the team in his image. But the leadership of Ben Johnson is a huge part of that as well, and he hires Dennis Allen. So then, how do you make this roster as formidable as it can be in a way that suits the image that Ben Johnson has for this version of the Chicago Bears? And sometimes the talent that's there, the skill set that's there on either side of the football won't mesh with a new regime that's come in. But then there are certain individual positions and position rooms that are still just going to benefit from having quality football players versus just saying this particular body type doesn't necessarily suit a scheme that we're now planning to run.
We'll get into more of that as the afternoon goes on and more information is known about what they're doing. Plus, Ryan Poles is going to speak, and we're going to let you hear from Ryan Poles in a little bit. The head coach spoke earlier, and there's some stuff in here that we need to discuss. So it's good that Big Ant Heron is here today of all days. So why don't we start with Ben Johnson opening up and talking about where things stand with a very hurt running back room that the Bears have.
I want to say thank you to all the guys that we had to move on from. Hopefully we'll get a number of them back on practice squad, but it's that time of year, and you know, it's just a step closer to week one. So I know Ryan's gonna talk after practice. We're still finalizing some of this roster stuff as we speak right now, and hopefully he'll have a little bit more clarity here this afternoon in terms of that. The one thing I can say is we will be going forward with three quarterbacks. All right. So Caleb and Tyson and Case, those will be our three guys here. Like I alluded to it in the past, feel strongly about that room and really like the makeup, the chemistry, and the growth that we've seen over the course of the spring and the summer so far. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
Big picture overview with the running backs room, obviously, with what you want to do with it going into the regular season and then dealing with some of the injury issues that are still lingering right now.
Yeah, we're working through that. There will always be looking to if there's guys out there that we can help upgrade that room. I feel really good about the coach that we have in that room. Eric Bieniemy's been doing a phenomenal job getting those guys ready. I think it starts there. I've been pleased with Swifty and everything he's shown over the course of camp. And then we've got some young guys that maybe don't have as many skins on the wall, but they're hungry and they're learning, and I feel good about it. So I think we're in a good spot right now. I think the injury part of it, that's the most troubling and most concerning part right now, is just making sure we have enough depth so that we have a full stable of guys going forward. But I have full confidence that week one and really for the whole season, we're going to be just fine there.
It was a small sample size for DeAndre, but it seemed like he put some good things out there. What did you see from his performance in Kansas City that caught your attention?
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. He's got that ability to be a spark for us, and I've known that for years about the guy. I mean, he's particularly when we're a little bit stale coming out of the gate, he wants to be that guy to get us back on track. And I think that's what the good running backs do in this league, is their teammates will feed off of them. All it takes is for one big play. I mean, he had the hurdle on the sideline, and I thought that was a good thing to see. And so explosive player, want to get the ball in his hands with some space as much as we possibly can. And I thought the cool thing you saw in that game was a couple short yardage opportunities, and he was willing to lower his shoulders and find a way to get the yard. So happy with where he's at right now.
With Kyle and some of the other running backs that have Roshan, Homer, is their week one availability in question, or are you expecting them back?
Yeah, we're still working through that. There's some question mark on when all these guys will be fully healthy again, and so that's really what we're talking about as we're going through the roster right now.
Yeah, that's not great. There are some running backs who are available. I know that Cam Akers got cut. If that's something that you wanted to explore, if you're the Bears, and it'll be interesting to see how they do this, because you're carrying three quarterbacks, and yeah. I understand why. If you're Cleveland and Tyson Bagent became available, you would probably scoop him up. If you're New Orleans and Tyson Bagent became available, you probably would scoop him up. The thing is that I look and look, I wanted Case Keenum to be a Bear. I do wonder at 38 if anyone would just take him if he was on waivers just so that you couldn't have him. But I understand, like, hey, that's part of this. Like, you got to make sure that those guys are on the roster. But with the injuries at running back and there being some question about some depth on the defensive backside, they might end up in a crunch here on what to do if you're carrying hurt running backs into week one.
It's certainly feeling that way. And, you know, today is just the initial day they have to get to the 53. We always hear Bigsy kind of pointing that out and reminding folks of it as well. Between now and actually getting to week one, to game action of the regular season, there's still time where the roster can still get massaged. But Ben Johnson went out of his way right there to say, we're carrying three quarterbacks. And it's fascinating in some way that he felt a necessity to point that out. And just, you know, you would seem like, but that at least indicates to me, he's declaratively saying all three of these guys are going to be here. We know that Caleb is obviously here. We know Tyson is obviously here. He just got his new money. But for Case Keenum, at 38, he certainly has had an impressive camp when he's been able to be healthy and be out there. But, yeah, would there have been a chance to try and sneak him on as a veteran onto the practice squad, or just to have him go home and sit on the couch for a minute and then bring him back later on? Because if he is, and it seems that he will be on the opening day roster as a vested veteran, then his money is going to be guaranteed for the season. So there won't be the opportunity to say later on that, well, we've decided to move on and we'll save some of that money. He's there opening day, then, you know, he's on your books for the year. And if it was a healthier roster, then I think there wouldn't be a lot of question about it. But the fact that you've got various positions that are banged up and feeling really thin right now, it does stretch things a bit to have three QBs on the 53.
I wonder if Case's back is going to hurt soon.
Huh.
You know, I wonder if that's one of those things that happen. You know, how long is Case back going to hurt? About 4 weeks. He should be back in about 4 weeks, and he'll be good to go. Yeah, if that's a way that they can mess around with the roster a little bit. There's more from Ben Johnson. This one might carry some discussion, because none of us really know what's going on with Jalen Johnson. I don't think that this is Jalen Johnson flexing so that he can get more money since he got a contract last year. But I will say, Ant, that I thought Ben Johnson's reaction to this was a little bit odd.
What are you guys going to do with Jalen Johnson? Is he going to be on the active roster?
That's the plan, yep.
And so his progress toward being ready for week one is what right now?
It's as it has been. That's been the target date, but we'll see.
And what is the specific injury?
You can ask Ryan that one.
With Jalen, in the limited amount of time he's going to have on the practice field, assuming he's back out there sooner rather than later, is stamina when you get to the game going to be a question?
Yeah, I think that that's a good observation right there, because we're doing as much as we can to make sure that conditioning is where it needs to be. But at the same time, there really is no substitute for putting on pads and playing the game at full speed. And so each guy's different. Particularly guys that have had success in this league for a number of years, they're a little bit different than maybe a rookie that you don't know as much about. And so he does get a little benefit of the doubt because he's played this game at a high level. But at the same time, I don't think there's any substitute for being able to be out there and go through the process. Training camp is a really good indication, not just for the team, but for each player as you're working through low volume, ramp it on up over the course just to make sure you're ready to take on a 17-game season. And of course, he's missed that.
Okay, Ant, what do you hear from that?
I mean, I think the injury aspect of this, especially with one of your star players and being on the non-football injury list up until now, you know, that definitely strikes me that Ben Johnson doesn't seem comfortable addressing the specifics of it. Now, the why behind that, I don't know, and I don't want to guess as to why that would be, but it feels like something that could be fairly easy to address. And Jalen Johnson being as upfront and forthright as he's always been, when he's healthy enough where they allow him to talk to the media, I'm certain we'll find out more, because that's just who he's always been. But sort of, you know, he didn't say, you know, you can ask Jalen about it when that opportunity comes. He said ask Ryan about it. So that would seem to indicate that him kind of pressing it up the ladder to, you know, the senior executive on the squad, it does seem like something, you know, a little bit more suspicious is worth kind of being curious about.
It's the first time where I felt Ben Johnson was uncomfortable. Like, he has handled us magnificently. And it's the first time where I'm like, ooh, and it makes me wonder. And I'd love to know what's going on with Jalen. I get that it might be personal, and maybe we don't deserve to know any of that, what that's going on with him. And my hope is that it is just an injury, like that it's not something else, like that it's not contractual or anything like that, and that it's just an injury that he has to get himself ready for the season. I'm glad that Biggs asked that follow-up about conditioning, because it's not just you're coming back. You're coming back and you're expected to run around with Justin Jefferson for 60 minutes. Like that's a task in itself for Jalen Johnson. We'll have more from Ben Johnson on this. We haven't even gotten to the quarterback stuff or the left tackle stuff. We'll go through that next with Big Ant Heron here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Braxton Jones, your starter week one at left tackle?
I'm not ready to talk about starters yet.
You said all along with the left tackle spot that you want to see somebody stand out and earn that. Do you feel like that was the case?
I think we're going to have a starter week one, and we'll go from there. So that's I said it a few weeks ago, and we feel good about the guys we have in that room. Someone's going to take the bull by the horns and is going to completely take over, but we're not afraid to make a change if the performance isn't where it needs to be. So we'll make that decision going into next week. I'm sure you guys will have a good idea who our starters will be going into Minnesota, but I'm not mentally there yet. This week is still about us. I'm not worried about Minnesota yet. It's all about us.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That's Ben Johnson talking about the left tackle position. It is still up for grabs. There's going to be more from Ben Johnson coming up in this segment, and we're going to hear from Ryan Poles and get his thoughts on Jalen Johnson, if Jalen's fine or if he's not fine or whatever's going on. When you hear Ben Johnson, and Big Ant is in for Speaks, by the way, today. So, Big Ant, when you hear what he's saying about the left tackle, I'd love to know what your assessment has been. You've been to a practice. You've seen these guys warm up on the field at Soldier Field with the work that you're doing on Fox 32. What are you seeing at left tackle?
I'm seeing a Braxton Jones that doesn't look fully healthy yet, or at least hasn't at various points. But I do think he's looked stronger each week, stronger physically, not even just specifically in performance, but he seems more sure of his ability to move suddenly. He seems more confident in his ability to just sort of plant his feet and try to apply power and leverage into defenders. And that matters so much on the line of scrimmage. When you're playing left tackle, that ability to move, to pound the post leg and shut down the inside move, to be able to lean with leverage and chase with urgency to shut down a speed rush and ward them away from the quarterback. So I see a Braxton Jones that's seemingly getting healthier each week. But I also see a Theo Benedict who looks impressive. I wasn't nearly as impressed with him in game number 3 against the Chiefs as I was in game number 2 against the Bills. And that's a part of the process for trying to prove yourself to a coaching staff is – once they give you bigger opportunities, once Theo Benedict gets in there with the ones, that's not only just because he's shown he's the best tackle on the team, but that's a part of the evaluation. Do you start to clam up a little bit when you're in the huddle with the starters for the first time? Do you play with a degree of tension as opposed to the freedom that you were displaying in your movement, in your aggression when you were playing against some of the guys towards the middle or the bottom of the roster? So all those things need to be evaluated before you're willing to line somebody up out there on national television on Monday Night Football to protect the backside of your quarterback. So I think from a Braxton Jones perspective, he certainly hasn't shown in his performance that he's all the way back to normal yet. So as cut down day is happening here, it really indicates to me the tone that Ben Johnson has said about it seems to be one that indicates they're still looking, still hoping, not fully invested yet.
Okay, so how scared should a Bears fan be that the left tackle is not emerged yet?
I think that between two things. One, 4 out of your 5 spots, Bears fans, I think you can feel really good about. The Bears are pretty strong up front, as strong as they've been in years on the offensive line, because they've gone out and spent the money on the interior. And Darnell Wright, I think, has shown he's going to work out quite well as a right tackle. Left tackle, it's the most vital spot. It's the highest dollar spot. But in the end, it is 1 out of those 5 spots up front between multiple tight ends and a tactician like Ben Johnson, who values being able to take pressure off of his offensive line and take pressure off of his quarterback with the run game and with quick game. Two of the main things that have been the bugaboo for Bears offenses for years at this point through so many different play callers. I love the fact that Ben Johnson has shown during his time in Detroit and even in last week's preseason game against Kansas City He's shown that that's something he recognizes can get an offense into rhythm and can take the starch out of an opposing pass rush. So, you know, you would love for your left tackle to be a spot that's solidified and that you feel better about, but I think they can feel good enough about the other four spots where if they've got to be able to have the left tackle be a position that's constantly on the mind of Ben Johnson covering for that individual with protection assignments, now I think they can pull that off.
The Trapillo thing is really interesting to me because it seemed as if they wanted him to win that job, that they wanted their second-round pick to go out there and win that job. Can you explain for the person in their car is like, man, I heard all this stuff about Ozzie Trapillo, and I kind of haven't heard anything about Ozzie Trapillo in a couple of weeks. How difficult a task it is, and the intricacies of moving from the right side of the line as a tackle to the left side as a tackle.
The way I've tried to explain this particular situation to people is just think about if you're right-handed and you've written with your right hand for your whole life, and then somebody says, oh, okay, write the same simple sentence or the same simple phrase, but do it with your left hand instead. Now, you may know how to hold the pen with your left hand. You should know, in theory, the path that your hand needs to go to be able to chart out those same letters and those same words, but it's going to feel really awkward. And so for a guy like Ozzie Trapillo, or for a guy even like Theo Benedict, who swapped from the left side to the right side to the left side, it is a different task. Biomechanically, your body is being asked in sudden movements and in unpredictable ways to try and block defenders who are trying to evade you. How do you get your technique sound when you're accustomed to playing on one side and having those particular movements become muscle memory? Then you've got a different stagger to your stance. You're kick sliding with the other foot. You're applying force out of your stance in the blockers going in the opposite direction. So certainly not impossible. It's not improbable. Interior offensive linemen do it constantly all the time. Even the tackles have to do it to a certain extent. But the further you get away from the football, the more of an island you're on, and the more your mistakes in movement can be exposed by really speedy defenders who are coming from all different directions. So it's a tough task, and it's a big ask. That's where when a lot of the conversation happened early about Darnell Wright maybe being moved from right tackle to left, my initial thought was, if you know you got three inside that you feel great about and you feel really good about the right, then just figure the left out instead of trying to put Darnell Wright in an uncomfortable spot. But then also, if they were going to do it, it needed to happen early because he's been for years now in his NFL career playing on the right side. And it would have been asking a lot for him to really get left tackle down to the degree that made sense, you know, for that move to kick in.
If Trapillo isn't going to be your left tackle, then he's going to be your swing guy. I do worry about the idea of, like, for such a high draft pick to then, because usually if you're talking about second round draft picks, you're talking about starters. And for a guy that you kind of look at and go, there's no place for him over at right tackle unless some disaster happens with Darnell Wright. Yeah. And he wasn't able to at this point win the left tackle job. How should I view this?
I didn't see a starting left tackle on film in his college evaluation. The Bears obviously evaluated him much closer than me. But, you know, being on the station in the day of and the days following the Bears drafting him, that was my initial reaction. And it seems that the Bears have gotten to that place as well. Braxton Jones being injured at least did give them the opportunity for a full evaluation of Ozzie Trapillo. And there was a lot of assumption about, you know, him being the starter because he's really big and he's very impressive at the podium. You got to let the guy put some pads on and go out there and block some folks and then really see whether or not he's going to get a chance to earn that job. Bears gave him every opportunity, and to their credit, they said, we're not going to force this issue. He's not as good as a left tackle as even the injured Braxton Jones is, and we've at least seen Braxton Jones perform in game. So, Ozzie, get back to your more comfortable spot. But as a swing tackle, that's a different thing now. Just like Ryan Bates now as the number two center, an interior offensive line swing guy. That's a much better position for Ryan Bates to be in. That, to me, is a status for a guy like Ryan Bates that provides depth to your offensive line on the interior. Ozzie Trapillo, as opposed to being forced into the starting lineup from game one when he's not ready for it, but a big, talented guy as a swing tackle. Now, I think you can indicate that as depth at tackle, as promise at tackle. And that's not even talking about Karan Amagaji yet at this point. You know, similar fashion to the Andrew Billings conversation. I think there's spaces where having the ability to go out and bring in personnel or having guys who are more proven in certain spots on the line of scrimmage, this does look like a team that's deeper on the LOS now than they've been in recent years, because now that you've brought in folks who are frankly just better or backups who have more promise, now you have a team top to bottom that's more formidable on the offensive and defensive line, because people have now sort of been pushed down the ladder a bit into what at this point in their development, at this stage of their career, are more comfortable spots for them to be in, as opposed to having to be sort of the marquee player at a given spot.
A couple of NFL notes here. Dylan Gabriel is now the backup in Cleveland. He was named the number two. Spencer Rattler is the starter over Tyler Shuck, who I believe is 2 or 3 years older than him.
Yeah.
Right. Is the starter in New Orleans. And we know that Caleb Williams knows Spencer Rattler really well because he took his job. But Ben Johnson had some thoughts about Caleb after reviewing the tape. He came out and he talked a little bit about what the first team offense did and didn't do on Friday night.
Ben, when you went back and looked at the film of the first team offense,
probably, you know, how I felt was the truth. And I said it after the game, and talked with those guys the next day as well. And, you know, we have a high standard. It was good to see, you know, the last two drives, you know, they had four possessions, but the last two drives, we ended up with some points. And so that was good to see. But the slow start, that's not what we want to be about. I felt that in practice at times over the course of camp. And so we're on a mission right now just to make sure that doesn't become a constant recurring theme as we go into the season. And so I think, like anything, you bring it to their attention. And, I mean, we got a bunch of pros and a bunch of prideful guys, and we'll get this thing fixed.
Okay, what does Caleb need to do to not get off to a slow start? Is it an energy thing? Is it an accuracy thing? Is it a mindset thing?
No, I don't think it's any of that. It's just – we're all about, and it doesn't matter. It's not Caleb. It's everybody. It's everybody. And it's coaches included in all this thing. And so we're not pointing fingers. The whole thing is we just got to be focused. We got to be intentional. We like to talk about, you know, if we get 70 plays in a game, those are 70 bullets for us to shoot off. And we need each one to count. We can't be missing. We can't be wasting. And, you know, I think that's the mantra that we've been talking about as coaches. And the players are really taken to that. So just that awareness level that there are no breather plays in this league. Each thing is really important. The details are really important. And I think it's going to add up and we'll be just fine.
And when you were a coordinator and you were looking at head coaching jobs, you made comments that I read where you wanted to go somewhere where you're going to be set up to succeed right away. How well set up do you think you are with this roster to be successful in year one?
Yeah, I think probably when those remarks were made, it was more talking about the alignment from the top on down, and from ownership to the general manager to president. And in that regard, I feel strongly about it. I felt strongly when I interviewed, and I still feel strongly about that right now. So that element is in place. You know, rosters change year in and year out. I think Ryan's done a good job over the course of his tenure here of accumulating talent, and now it's our job as coaches to find some results with it.
It can take time to tilt the roster toward and shape the roster toward what a new coach and a new coaching staff wants. How close is this to what you want it to be and what you need to be successful this year?
There are some tenets that we feel strongly about as a coaching staff, more so in how we play the game and less so about the skill set of the players we have around us. I feel strongly about our coaches. They're really good at what they do. They've got a right mix of experience, and we're going to draw out the best of them, and we're going to put them in good positions to succeed. So there are no particular skill set requirements that we need. We got some good, talented players in the objective is to win. It's to win now.
Penalties have been a consistent issue throughout training camp, and we've seen a pop up during the game. Are you at all concerned that this may be something that continues to pop up during the season? And how do you overcome calling an offense when those are?
Yeah, listen, I am disappointed that they've lingered on for as long as they have. That's something that that we've addressed, we've talked about. And do I think it's going to be a recurring theme over the course of the season? No, I don't. We have a plan in place for how we can help eliminate these things, and we'll go with that going forward.
When you wrestle with Caleb in the 2-minute setting, whether it's last year or the time you've worked with him the last few months, what makes him dangerous in that situation?
I think that's just where he's feels most natural. I think that's over the course of high school, college, and now pros, that's probably where he's accumulated the most number of snaps. And so naturally, that's where he thrives. He feels pretty good being on the ball, no huddle, tempo type plays. He's got a flair for the dramatic. He understands situations. He knows where he needs to break the pocket and extend. And he's doing a great job right now understanding when to check the ball down and let our guys go run after the catch a little bit. So I just think it's been an accumulation of reps over the course of his lifetime.
Okay, there's some stuff in there that we need to discuss. So let's take a timeout. And when we come back, we will hear Big Ant's thoughts on what it is they heard about the quarterback. And we are going to get Ryan Poles to you. It looks like we're going to do it after we're done talking with Jason Leisure. You asked some pretty pointed questions of Ben Johnson that we need to discuss as well. So Big Ant's reaction to what was said about Caleb and kind of where things go with the first team offense next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegelman Holmes.
Jim Ozarski covers the Bucks for the Journal Sentinel. He is the South Suburbs champion.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence, king of Evergreen Park. Appreciate that. Look, Matt.
Afternoons on the Score.
Caleb Williams, he has to embrace being absolutely and utterly miserable.
I don't think that's the case anymore. I think that things are probably better for Caleb Williams these days than they were back at the end of last season, because it was definitely awful then. Big Ann Heron is in for Spiegs. We are picking his brain for football content as Ben Johnson talked about his quarterback and them not looking great with the first team last week. To me, the issue was the stuff that Ben Johnson has been harping on, it not looking sharp. Guys not doing stuff pre-snap to allow them to have success post-snap. And we saw that play out. What did you see and what did you hear from Ben Johnson?
We should call him Big John.
We should.
I think that
Big John.
Right.
Big Bad John.
There was a lack of precision to especially the first offensive series and really the first two offensive series, because that's the main area. I mean, remember, you and I even talking back in the pre-draft phase, just comparing and contrasting Caleb Williams with Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had so much more time on task in college, and the precision, the mechanics of playing quarterback at a high level were such that I anticipated those elements of the quarterback position is where we'd see a lot of Jaden Daniels having an edge on where Caleb was at in his development, just more time on task. And Caleb is not a precise quarterback with his footwork, as Ben Johnson constantly talks about. But you're seeing improvement in all aspects of him just operating the offense, getting out of the huddle, going through his reads, the mechanics, the footwork, everything else, even things like, you know, you think of just handing the ball off in game. It feels like, just from a general perspective, that that's some easy job for the quarterback just to get the snap from center and hand the football off. But getting what can still be a really complex play call into your head, spitting that out into the huddle, perhaps redirecting the front, the direction the run's going to go, you know, trying to retarget which gap it's supposed to happen in. Maybe you're motioning the back from a neutral position to an offset position, and the specific footwork associated with that and the mechanics of how you're handing the ball off. Like that very first play of the game, the timing of the snap has to be so precise because you're wanting Olamide Zaccheaus to be able to maintain a full head of steam as he's running laterally behind the line of scrimmage, so now he can outflank and outleverage the defenders. And so just being a hair late ends up with the ball on the ground. And those are the types of things that don't require Caleb to drop into a stationary pocket and read the full field, but all those mechanics matter as well.
Yeah, I want to give grace, and I have, but I actually don't think that it's a bad thing if this doesn't start out on fire. I expect that there are going to be some issues here because of the changes in what they're asking him to do. To go from being primarily a shotgun or pistol quarterback from the time you're 10 until the time that you're 23, and then being asked, yeah, we're going to do a lot of stuff with you under center. Look, anyone who has been through freshman B practice understands that receiving a snap from center is a rough thing to get down. And as you said, then you get to the, all right, you've had the chance to, as a shotgun or a pistol quarterback, to survey the field while the ball is being snapped in some cases, versus turning your back to the defense and making sure that you've got that picture in your head of what the defense was, and then being able to react to what the defense is by the time you get to the top of your drop. It's not easy. So I'm not expecting this to just work. I do think that it was cool to see last week Ben Johnson move Caleb in and out of having under center versus shotgun stuff to figure out, and that at least shows to me a coach that wants to try and make his quarterback as comfortable as possible while still giving structure of what his offense wants to look like.
And I would imagine that Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle and JT Barrett are, at least they should be, in constant communication with Caleb Williams, reminding him that every single rep, maximizing every opportunity mentally and physically to have all these things become muscle memory, that matters. And that will feel different. It will look different in December than what it does right now in August. It'll feel and look different in October and November than it does right now. And that's where that consistent reminder, while holding him accountable and holding his feet to the fire for lapses in focus, lapses in mechanics, but reminding him that this will improve. I mean, I'm in constant discussions even with my seven-year-old about things where if he gets frustrated, whether it's something, you know, athletically, something academically, some word he's not completely certain of, like, you're seven. This is going to feel different when you're nine. Even just like stepping into the shower. Hey, can we get a lower shower? No, you're seven. You're going to be really tall when you're nine. You don't need a lower shower yet. We're good. Just give it a little time. That is not going to be a concern of yours as you get taller and older. And all these stages in the development of a young football player end up mattering. Of course, the crux is the Bears are planning to win games this season. So does your defense give you enough? Does your run game give you enough? Do your special teams give you enough where it's not going to feel like the majority of winning and losing is on the shoulders of Caleb as a quarterback?
And
that was one of the very first things Ben Johnson said to him at that opening presser.
I wonder how easy or difficult that's going to be for Caleb to kind of let some of that go, because he's had to be that guy in the places that he's been. And now it's like, you really don't have to. Like, that we've got it set up for you. So you have to unlearn some of that stuff. We can talk to Jason Leisure about that. He's going to join us from Halas Hall. We'll talk with him about what's going on with the Bears, what he thought of what was said by Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. And then we'll share a big chunk of the Ryan Poles press conference with you. The 4 o'clock hour is going to be lit, as the kids say, with Bears talk next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.